Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Gray, this is why I want to talk college football. Because an article just came out that the NFL Players Association is hiring multiple law firms to fight the battle with the NFL when it comes to the anthem. Let me just say this once, and we'll get into it tomorrow. Stay in the locker room, all right? Don't come out. Don't put them out there if guys are going to kneel for the national anthem, because I'm sick of it. All right, I get it that it's your right. I get it that some of them go, it's not about the flag in a protest. It's about that. No, you kneel when the national anthem's being played. That's disrespectful to the anthem. It's disrespectful to the flag, and it's disrespectful to this country. That's my opinion. So stay in the locker room. But the NFL Players Association does this and gets in a fight with the league, then screw them. Screw them, because I have nothing. I will not watch any more NFL. I am sorry. That is a situation when I see it. I get it's your right as an American to do it. But it makes me feel bad. It makes me feel you don't respect the greatest country on earth. Go out there and get in the community and try to say change something. But if you're going to kneel for the national anthem, then guess what? I don't respect you. Go about it a different way. And that's my right as American. That doesn't mean people have to agree or disagree with it, Gray. That's my personal opinion. So if I'm the NFL, I'm saying just stay in the locker room so we can put this thing in the past, because this has got a chance to blow up again, and all it's going to do is hurt the ratings for a league that's already seen their ratings and their attendance go down.
I can't figure out why this is still just being brought up time and time after again.
And again, that's your right. It's my right not to like it, because when I see it and I see it debated on television and everything, it makes me feel bad.
It's perfectly fair. They have the right. You can do that.
Yeah. For every action, there's a reaction. And my reaction, it makes my stomach turn, because I have three nephews that had fought for this country. I had a father-in-law that fought in the Korean War and the Vietnam War. And while you may not be protesting them or disrespecting them, that's the way I view it. Because the people that gave their life up for you to do that gave the ultimate sacrifice. So I'd rather you just tip your hat at them and then go try to change something in the community in which you are, instead of making this a drama on television, because people are going to get tired of it, and the players are the ones that are going to end up being held accountable. You know what? If it's my business and I see you do it, I wish I could fire you on the spot, because it's my right to run my business the way I want to. All right. Getting back to some of the quirkiness when it comes to college football this year, we mentioned Navy. Think about how far Navy has to go to play their first and second football games. All right. They open up September 1st at Hawaii. That's a 10-hour direct flight from Baltimore to Honolulu. Even a little bit longer than that. Then they got to turn around without a bye and come home and face a very good Memphis team there at in Annapolis on September 8th. I mean, are you even over the jet lag before you run out on the field on September 8th to go play a Mike Norvell's Memphis Tigers, who he's 18-8 in two seasons there at Memphis?
That's pretty good numbers for him. And you go all the way across the country and then a little bit into the ocean to go to Hawaii. I mean, it's a nice place, a great trip out there, but to Hawaii, though.
I mean, that's like 20-something thousand miles they're flying in about 4 days. All right. Who's got probably the most brutal non-conference schedule out there? Go look at it. It's an ACC team, and it's the Pitt Panthers. All right. Think about last year. They barely missed a bowl slot at 5-7. And then their athletic director doesn't do them any favors this year. Their three out-of-conference games, Penn State at home, at UCF, your defending national champion, and at Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's a pretty tough. That's a pretty tough non-conference schedule when it comes to the Pitt Panthers. All right. Have you ever heard of college football teams playing each other twice in a year? We talked about, you know, Hillcrest and Malden, and we've seen it at the high school level, especially when it comes around fundraising and stuff. Liberty and New Mexico State are playing twice this season. They are going to face October 6th out in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and then turn around and wrap up the season November 24th at Liberty. I'm guessing somebody spurned one of these two schools when it came to their upcoming schedule and they were not left. I mean, because at least Liberty, I guess, is technically not an FCS team anymore. Aren't they headed to the Sun Belt or something along those lines? You just don't see it. Yeah, they left the ranks of the FCS last season, so they're playing this year as a FBS independent. So at least New Mexico State won't have to take the hit of playing two FCS teams. But I can't ever recall, unless it was in a bowl game for a national title. We saw Florida State and Florida match up twice one year with Steve Spurrier. Outside of that, I don't ever recall seeing a rematch. So twice in one year, unbelievable. All right, when it comes to Diesel's not here to defend himself and his App State Mountaineers, all right? But three-game homestands, you know, they're quite regular in college football. This year, a dozen teams will play three straight road games. That's not very common. App State is looking to improve on last year's 9-4 record, and they play four consecutive road games. At Southern Miss, at Gardner-Webb, at South Alabama, and at Georgia Southern. They play three in a row at home. Southern Miss, Gardner-Webb, South Alabama, and then they turn around and play three on the road at Georgia Southern, at Coastal Carolina, and at Texas State. So, it's that time where you start breaking down schedules. You start breaking down motivation. You start breaking down because I think this situation when it comes to Mike Gundy and the athletic director at Oklahoma State's probably just getting started. And maybe the only way, Gray, that they can change this situation now, sit in the office and talk it out.
Yeah, it's just you're just going to have some one-on-one time and figure out what you're thinking here.
Does the athletic director have the right to look him square in the eye and Mike Gundy and go, listen, you're a former Oklahoma State quarterback. You've been here since 2005. You've been sniffing around other jobs the last few years. I want some kind of commitment from you that you are here or it's going to get worse when it comes to the future. You know, once they start fighting in the media, taking little shots, you really can't get over that.
And that's the problem because as the athletic director, you're in charge of all the programs there. And it has been no secret that Mike Gundy has been kind of shopping around. So I think he certainly has the right to do that. And Gundy has the right to look around. But if you're going to take something, take it.
Hey, listen, according to Miles Garrett, Mike Gundy can't shop around and look for a better job. He would just be going to look for a winner, right?
Yeah, he's just going to go to Alabama
My God, you don't leave Oklahoma State to go to Liberty. You know, that's not a challenge. You would leave Oklahoma State to go to a Tennessee that has a rich heritage. You know, it's been 20 years since they won a national title. But by God, you can't have upward mobility when it comes to your profession, according to Miles Garrett. Otherwise, you're just looking to tag along to a winner. You know, this much I would say, Miles Garrett, let's take a look. And they actually, Richmond brought this up. I want to give him credit for it, Richmond Weaver on the. But Miles Garrett, when you were going through your recruiting, your senior year in high school, why did you go to Texas A&M, one of the biggest universities out there with a huge budget? If you really wanted to be that guy to take a bad team to the next level, why didn't you go join Dennis Franchione and the Texas State Bobcats? Try to be that guy. Again, know your role. Miles Garrett, while you're trying to endear yourself to the Cleveland Cavalier fans, I get it. You don't have enough credit in the bank. You don't have enough deposited to go out there and pick a public fight with Kevin Durant, who has back-to-back NBA titles, has back-to-back NBA Finals MVPs. Myles Garrett, I suggest let's make a goal this year. 16 football games in an NFL regular season. Maybe let's play in 12. Because he didn't go through training camp last year. You remember?
No.
I've heard he is soft. He is a talent, but I've heard he's soft. Now, name another number one overall draft pick at defensive end that we heard that about for a while, but he has now decided I'm going to play and I'm going to be an NFL beast. Mm-hmm. And that's Jadeveon Clowney. So, again, I'm no Warriors fan. I don't pull for LeBron. Sorry. I respect what he does. Doesn't mean you have to pull for him. But Myles Garrett, just you can't pick stupid.
And Clowney was on the South Carolina team. Sure, they had times where they weren't great, but he certainly helped improve them. Him and Spurrier both did.
Spurrier told us last week, it was off the air when we were talking. He said, you know, the one thing about I try to treat everybody equally, but Jadeveon just kind of had his own work schedule, and we just all kind of became acclimated to it. So, but again, Gray, I don't know if you saw, but we've been bragging about this one, getting Spurrier into a comment that ESPN Upstate was mentioned on national news multiple times. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I didn't. I missed that.
Dude, this is so imagine you being a Tennessee fan back in the day, all right? I said, Coach, you know, he sat down with us for about 15 minutes at that South Carolina Hall of Fame event, Legend Speaker Series. I said, Coach, you know, you were known for some of the great one-liners, quips, zingers, however you want to describe it. I said, is there one at 73 years old, which he is now, that when you're sitting at the beach house with a beverage and you laugh and giggle? And Mark, let me tell you, talking doesn't win football games. Talking can get the fans upset. Talking can do this. But if talking won football games, Georgia would have beaten us more when we were at Florida. And Matt Connolly from the state newspaper was standing over there to the side, and he tweets out, you know, Coach Spurrier on ESPN. And dude, it ended up on MSN.com, Reddit, Saturday Down South, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, we had some fun with that one, to say the least. And I tell you what, for somebody I didn't know about, I think that was one of the more fun interviews that we have done in a while.
I mean, that's 75% of the reason why I watch Media Days. It's going to be hard this time around. Spurrier made Media Days fun.
Oh, yeah, because he just doesn't care. Just doesn't care. All right, here's the deal. When we come back, we will close up shop. We'll give you an update from the horror at Shinnecock Hills. I think my even par winning score just went to +4. We'll see about that. And if you got a phone call, we're out at 6:30. It's Tampa Bay and the New York Yankees here on ESPN Upstate tonight. All right, welcome back in. Final few minutes, because we're going to give way to Major League Baseball here at 6:30 tonight. It's the Tampa Bay Rays at the New York Yankees. And if you're interested in this game, I believe it's one of the games where the Tampa Bay Rays are going to start their reliever. You know, they've done that several times this year and kind of worked in a different way and backwards. So I believe they are going to be doing that again tonight. And, you know, just goes to show you that there are different ways to do things. You know what I mean? So, again, pay attention to that. Now, we have a change on the leaderboard at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills. They have backed up. Russell Henley is in the clubhouse at 1-under with Scott Piercy and Ian Poulter. Also on the course at 1-under are Dustin Johnson and Jason Duffner. So right now, we've got three guys that are in the clubhouse at under par. Two are still on the course. There's nobody at even par. And then the rest of it just gets brutally, brutally ugly. So, again, I think +4 is going to be somewhere around there that's going to be the winning score. I don't know how good I want to see some birdies made. Now, again, you know, if the wind backs down, they had 30-mile-an-hour gusts today. But this much we know about 30-mile-an-hour gusts. All that's going to do is dry the fairways and the greens out later this week. Now, we will not have Gray, you're too young to remember, but back in 2004, when they last held the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills, they let the greens get away from them. I mean, after the first two groups go through on the seventh hole, on the final round, it was so bad and so treacherous, they had to stop and water the green before every group came through. So think about it. The first two groups that came through had to play a different hole than the rest of the tournament did that day. But it got so bad. There was so little moisture into the ground, especially on that seventh green. They were literally out there watering the green before every group made their approach shot in. Otherwise, there was nothing. There was no way a shot was going to be held on the green. But what the problem was, in those first two groups that went through, they had a couple of guys with three-footers, and it was sort of a side hill, downhill light. The ball ended up in the bunker. So that's when you get a little too much going on. Kyle Stanley, the former Clemson golfer, he's four over after 15 holes right now. Looking down the leaderboard, let's see, looking for Tiger Woods. Ernie Els is five over through 15 holes. Let's see. Boy, it's not a good sign when you kind of you have to keep on going down to find Tiger Woods. Bill Haas, we told you earlier, he's in at 6 over 76. And, again, a rough day. Bubba Watson shoots 77. Phil Mickelson shoots 77. Webb Simpson's now 7 over as well, the former U.S. Open champion. Jordan Spieth shoots 8 over. Lucas Glover is 8 over after 16 holes. And Tiger Woods is now 8 over after 14. I mean, think about it. Some of the storylines is going to be how high is the cut line going to be tomorrow night? And then finally, look at all the great past major champions that will not be around for the weekend. We mentioned, I don't know, but I'm doubting that Phil Mickelson or Bubba Watson at 7 over, unless they go at least even par or 1 under tomorrow, they may be in trouble for making the cut. Or Jordan Spieth at 8 over, or Jason Day, who I picked at 9 over, or... Yeah, the last time Roy McIlroy shot an 80 was 5 years ago in the Masters.
He's 16 names from the bottom of the score chart that I have. 16 from the bottom.
So, I mean, I guess the storyline tomorrow is going to be if the weather doesn't give him a break or anything in the court, it's just to continue to watch the carnage. I mean, do we want to see this get historically bad? I don't know, but sometimes that can be, you know, there's a reason when you're driving down the road and you see a wreck that everybody slows down and takes a look at it because you just, you know, it's human nature. So maybe we're going to see a bunch of wrecks. Now, you know, I've got a 17-year-old, Gray, you go to North Greenville, which is a great school. Of course, our good friend Landon Powell, the head baseball coach over there. We mentioned the case earlier, the Kentucky football players that had $98,000 in cash in their townhome, as well as more than 52 grams of cocaine and 5 pounds of marijuana. I mean, that's a pretty big operation there. Brett Freelander just tweeted an article, our buddy, the ACC Insider columnist. New Hanover High School in Wilmington, North Carolina, won the state championship in their division of football this past year. A bunch of their kids, including kids that had signed college scholarships, just got rounded up in a drug bust. It's just becoming earlier and earlier and younger. Unbelievable. But here are these kids at 18 years old. Possession with intent to sell, deliver marijuana, blah, blah, blah. I mean, these are some pretty serious charges against 18-year-olds. And guess what? You're not going to get to go through the juvenile court process here. You are a high school graduate. You are going to be treated as an adult.
And those scholarships are gone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So think about what you're doing out there, people, because as we like to say, there are repercussions for your actions. And, you know, that's just one to get away from. All right, so here's the deal. Tomorrow we'll be back in studio. Mark Childress is going to be with us. We'll have some Panthers talk. Brian Strickland had to move an interview back to tomorrow from today as the OTAs for the Carolina Panthers ended earlier today. So we'll figure out what time with Brian Strickland, and of course we can now let you know. Training camp at Wofford College for the Carolina Panthers will open up on July 26th, and it will end on August 13th. So now you can start making your plans to get out there because it's free and it's a lot of fun. And, of course, that first day on the 26th, they have a big party and celebration from 4:30 to 6:30, and then they have their first practice from 6:30 to 8:30. So, you know, thank you. Football is on the clock now, and my life's a lot better. You got any expectations for Jeremy Pruitt this year?
Just please win 6 games, at least, okay. Please.
Just, it's going to take a little bit. You know, and I've heard from a couple of my friends up there in Knoxville that he's just kind of had to shake his head a little bit and go, man, I've really got to work on the attitude of some of these players after the Butch Jones era.
And I'm glad he is.
Yep. So, hey, listen, Jeremy Pruitt, he's a tough son of a gun. But you know what's going to happen? A few of these guys are going to run off before he ends up getting entrenched with his own players. Gray, thank you for getting in here today. Diesel will be back here in studio with us tomorrow. Mark Childress and me in the meantime. Listen, have a great evening. I know I'm looking forward to more than 4.5 hours sleep for the first time since April 30th. I get to sleep without my neck brace. So I will have a great night, and we'll see you at 4 p.m. tomorrow for more Straight Up with Sturge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.